Good evening. It's a blessing to be gathered together again, be able to look into God's Word. Just want to thank you all for the invitation to come and welcome this hillbilly in from St. Joe, Indiana. And if you come out our way, you're welcome to stop and see us. So just thank you for everything, and I just encourage you to continue to walk with the Lord and be faithful to Him. Let's say our verse together. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I'm going to read you a verse from Isaiah here. Isaiah 35, verse 8. You don't have to turn to it. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. And I'm not necessarily just talking about holiness tonight, but holiness is not very popular in churches today, but it's very popular with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Holy living, right living, living that is different from the living of this world. And I remember being with my older brother one time, and you know, well, first of all, sometimes we think if someone's for holiness, that means they're sober and whatever. That's not necessarily true. You know, living a holy life is a blessing. It's a joyful life. But I just was challenged one time because I was with my oldest brother, and we was in a restaurant somewhere, and somebody kind of said a joke or something, and they said, "Well, don't say that around Larry because he doesn't like dirty jokes." And I thought, that's a good testimony, you know? People say, don't say that. And, you know, as I think of holiness, and the only thing that's going to be in heaven are things that are holy. God is holy. And we live in, I think this has been a challenge all down through life, but we live in a time of where holiness is not a big deal. I mean, I find my own self sometimes thinking, oh, well, yeah. You know, it used to be if you lived together or you got pregnant before you was married, it was a shameful thing. No longer really is that a shameful thing in most circles. One pastor said most of our people live together before they get married. This is before my time, believe it or not, young people. But an old man that I used to know, actually it would have been Mark Eicher's grandpa. He told me one time, he says, it was in the newspaper that a man was arrested in Fort Wayne for being out on the streets with a pair of shorts on. Indecent exposure. I'm not here to talk about shorts tonight. I'm not here to talk. We know that holiness goes way deeper than just our attire. But I think if we are holy, our attire will also show that, right? Yeah. I mean, you know. But so as I think about things tonight and the holiness of God and what all that means, you know, Jesus is holy. God is holy. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And I believe that living like God wants us to live is a 24-hour, 7-day, 365-day-a-year lifestyle. Holiness doesn't come and go. It doesn't make a difference where we're at. Living a life for God is a separated life, holy unto God. You know, it's a life that desires the things that God desire. And I think in our kingdom, in our world today, and in our churches, there is a lot of confusion. And I just want to challenge you tonight that there are two kingdoms, and there are two ways, and there's two destinations, and there's two kingdoms after our soul. It's the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world. And an older gentleman that he still lives, but he's taught me a number of types and shadows, but a good brother. And, you know, he said, it's like this. He said, you break the tie. He said, God votes for your soul, the devil votes for your soul, and then I break the tie. And I know that's pretty simplistic, but yet it kind of makes sense that my choice determines the devil wants my soul, God wants my soul, and who I choose to follow is which side is going to win. And you know, the story goes that the old Indian chief, he was talking with his little grandson, and he said, son, he said, it's sort of like this. He said, it's like there's two wolves inside of you. And he said, they're at war with each other. And the little grandson, he thought about that a little bit. And he said, well, Grandpa, he says, which wolf wins? And the old Indian chief said, the one that you feed wins. And that's how it is in our life. If I feed my flesh, the flesh is going to win. If I feed the Spirit of God within me, the Spirit of God is going to win. And I think so often about things like this, you know, and so many times we can get to the point that I understand, I'm tempted. Sometimes I look out there into the world and I think, wow, that looks kind of fun, but then I remember their end. And I remember those things and to realize what I have. But to remember, brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of God, Jesus said, my kingdom is what? It's not of this world. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, he said, my servants would fight. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. And so my kingdom, my people, my disciples, they're not going to fight for this world. They're going to fight for the kingdom of God. And turn with me tonight to Timothy chapter 2, and let's begin there just for just a little bit. Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So, as we think about a soldier and what he is fighting for, and he's fighting, you know, the kingdom of this world says there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friend. And we understand that to an extent. I do not agree with going to war, but you know, we can understand that there's people who lay down their lives to save other lives. But you know, in our spiritual lives, you know, what am I doing? Who am I fighting for? You know, in these last days that we probably are living in, we don't know that for sure, but I want to surround myself with soldiers of Jesus Christ. How about you? I want to be surrounded by soldiers of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be surrounded by someone. I had to think of the song Amos Raver sings, The Older I Get. Have you heard him sing that? But he says, I don't have as many friends, but the friends that I have my back. You know, and it's kind of interesting that, I don't want friends around me. I don't want soldiers of Jesus Christ around me. I don't want professing Christians around me that are just going to tell me what I want to hear. If there's something in my life, I want them to point that out and talk to me about that. And I want to be fighting. We need to be fighting for the kingdom of God against the kingdom of this world. And so often, we look at the world as a playground, but really it's a battlefield to us as believers. It's not a place for the Christian to go play. and get involved with a lot of those things. It's a battleground. It's what we're fighting against is the things of this world. And so as I think of that, you know, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, and let's read a few verses there. How am I entangled? We just read that a soldier does not get entangled with the things of this life. And we could talk about a lot of things in that, but we are not going to take the time to do that tonight. But Matthew chapter 16, and we talked about this some earlier, but we're going to read these verses. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me daily. And follow me, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So tonight I ask you that question. What would it take for you to give in exchange for your soul? And as we sit here tonight, we would say, oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't exchange anything for my soul. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, and when we say the rubber meets the road, we have a choice to make. And how valuable is my soul? And I didn't preach on truth. I mean, I did preach on truth, but I have a message sometimes I preach that it's the two most precious things to me, and it's truth and my soul. Okay? If we don't, how many of you here tonight are deceived? I don't see any hands. You're honest, because if you were here tonight and you were deceived, you would not know it. Okay? You could be here tonight with knowing sin in your life. That's not deceived, because you know it's sin. But someone who is deceived thinks that they are right when they're wrong. And Jesus says that those people are going to come before the throne, and God's going to say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you have a tender conscience. I'm not trying to entrap you to think that you're not ready to meet God. But the way that you know you're not deceived is you know the truth. And the truth will set you free. God's word. Forget about Google. Forget about some of those things. Get the truth from God's word. There's so many voices out there and so many things. But the truth of God's word. God wants to show us this way. Our young people, they need parents and grandparents that will stand for truth. And we have clouded that way. And maybe we don't know for sure. You know, what is truth? And I tell you, we have to stand for truth and what that means. And I know that sometimes we can apply the principles of God's word in a few different ways, but the principles of God's word is always truth. Do you understand that? Always. Always. The principles of God's truth, of God's word, is always truth. And so, as we go through tonight, I want to illustrate something here. I told Todd I might do something in front of your church that's never been done before. He said he trusted me, which could have been a mistake, but no. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I believe, and I know, and I also believe with all my heart, that when we are thirsting after the things of God, it takes away the appetite of this world. And when we are thirsting and feeding after the things of this world, it takes away our appetite for God. And so, you know, it's which choices am I make? Is it being profitable for me, or is it taking me away? Is it lifting me up or taking me down? So this plate here is gonna it's on your right side. This is what people call healthy food. Okay? It's bread. There's nuts on there. There's meat. There's cheese. There's raspberries. And then we have water. Okay? So over here, some of the things that I like off of this plate, but this plate represents the kingdom of this world, okay? There's candy, there's, you know, chips, cookies, all kinds of things, and then good old Mountain Dew. And so that's on the devil's table for tonight, okay? But so we have the Lord's table, and we have the devil's table. So we have a choice. Where am I going to feed from? I'm talking, all these illustrations are spiritual illustrations tonight. But so we get saved and we come to the Lord and we sit down at the Lord's table. And we just enjoy the things of God. I mean, the water isn't cold, but oh, it's just so refreshing. And we're just enjoying the things of God. Got some bread here. Really nothing on it, but it's good. And I'm just enjoying the things of God. And so, as I feed on the things of God as a young Christian, I realize that, man, I used to really have an appetite for those things, but since I've been feeding on these things, I don't have as strong of an appetite. Now, life goes on, and, you know, we go about life, time goes on. And, I mean, I notice these things over here, and I do say that they kind of look good. And, I mean, I wonder if I could eat and partake of some of that and still make it to heaven. Now we're talking spiritually here. I just wonder if I could involve myself with, well, I better not, because I want to make it to heaven and my church has a standard against that. And so, I'll come back over here. So, you know, I sat down and, boy, that kind of looks good over there. Well, now I better just, I mean, it would be nice if I had a little bit of jelly or something. But, you know, it's just old dry bread. Be nice if I had some ice, but you know, I want to make it to heaven. So time goes on, and I notice that I'm starting to, the food over there is starting to look a little better than this. And so I think, well, you know, I'll just take a look a little bit, because, you know, if I don't know what's out there, then how can I preach? You know, I kind of got to know what's going on out there in the world. And so a little bit like Eve, I look at it and I say, no, you know, I better not, but can't you hear the devil telling Eve, just go ahead and touch it. Just go ahead and hold. Just go ahead and hold that fruit. Just, you know, don't take a bite of it. You don't have to take a bite of it. Just, yeah. Well, I better not, because my church has a standard against that, and I want to make it to heaven, and so, but I don't really need a chair here anymore, because I'm not spending that much time here anymore. I mean, I'm not saying this stuff ain't good, but, I mean, what is it going to matter if I just take a bite? You know, I mean, God's grace. You know, God came to deliver us from the powers of darkness, from sin. He didn't just come to cover our sin. He came, we hear a lot about the grace of God, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God, but the grace of God also gives us power to live above sin and to overcome sin. And so, but I think, well, I tell you, maybe, you know, hey, it's good. Oh, that's right. Church has a standard against that, and I want to make it to heaven. So I come back over here. Man, sometimes I just think, you know, I just wish we could, you know, would we have to be this radical? I mean, you know what? I'm just going to take a break from holiness for a little while. And I'm just going to kind of see what's out there. Not that I mean, ever really intend to get involved with anything, but I'm just going to, you know, kind of take a little sit down here. Oh, that's right. Come back over here. Yeah, I think my desire is that I want to be over here. It's not that I don't like these things. And I'm not going to say that these people aren't saved. But you know what I mean? They're just a little bit dry. Just a little bit straight. And so I'm going to come over here a little bit and sit down. Just check things out a little bit. Yeah, let's see. What's in this here? Carbonated water. Why? My wife been wanting me to drink more water. that high fructose corn syrup, I'm not for sure about that. But look at this. Yep. The third ingredient, concentrated orange juice. You know, if I would drink 2 liters of this a day, I'd get a nice glass of orange juice, right? But isn't that sometimes what we do? We make excuses, like, spiritually, like, yeah, we know there's a lot of things in there that maybe not the best and ain't holy, but, man, there is a little bit of truth in there. And so we have to drink a whole bunch of it to get a little bit of truth. And while we're drinking 2 gallon of, to get a quart of our orange juice, we're drinking 2 gallon of untruth. And, I just feel the vitamin C going down. Yeah. Boy, do I like orange juice. But, and that's how we kind of act sometimes. We act like, well, we're doing that. We're what? You know, someone touches us. Oh, well, we're just drinking orange juice. I mean, what you getting all over me about? You know? Oh, that's right. No, I want to make it to heaven, so I better not stay here too long. My church has a standard against it, so. Okay, I mean, I can handle some of this stuff on here, but wow. Man, you know, as I've been going through this spiritual process in my life, I feel confusion. You know what I mean? I feel a confusion. It's like, okay, I don't fit in here, and I don't fit in over there. These people are all over me, wanting me to read more and pray more and live more holy, and yet I don't really want to be totally where these people are. And so I'm back and forth and back and forth. And then I get a brilliant idea. The tables are too far apart. You see? It wouldn't take near as much exercise if I would bring the tables over a little closer. Ah. So now I don't have to walk so far back and forth, and you know, I can I still appreciate some of the things that these people stand for, but man, sometimes they're just radical. I mean, you know, as I sit here, I'm finding out that things don't bother me as much as they used to. You know? It used to bother me when I watched a movie and there was nakedness, but, you know, I'm kind of getting to the place where it's okay. I mean, I suppose if somebody has a problem when they see something like that, you know, they probably shouldn't do it, but, you know, one guy said, if you don't have a problem when you see something like that, you better go to the doctor. Yeah, you see, we make excuses. And I'm not here to tell you tonight what to watch, but I believe God expects us to watch holiness. Does that make sense? I know. I've seen things like, whoa, no, that's, and I've had to say, sorry, God, that was not the holiness of God. But, you know, and so, but after we see that for a while, we probably would all have to admit to a little bit of a degree that 50 years ago, 10 years ago, homosexuality would have been a bigger thing, right? It becomes a little, I remember a number of years ago when one of the first school shootings happened. Now it's sort of like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Oh, another school shooting. I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah. That's too bad. You know, and we just kind of become used to it. And so, you know, as I come back over here and, man, I'm just, and then I get another, about five more years down, or two more years down the road, everyone would say, I get another brilliant idea. You know what? The tables are too far apart. If we would just bring the two tables a little closer, then it would be easier. And, you know, I do have to be honest that it used to bother me. Some of this stuff that I'm involved with and doing now, it used to kind of bother me. But I guess I've just grown enough. Please understand me when I'm my sarcasm in some of this. I guess I've just grown enough that now I'm spiritual enough that stuff like this doesn't really bother me anymore. You realize that God looks at holiness today just like he did 2,000 years ago? And God hasn't got used to it, and neither have his children. Okay? God's children do not get used. And when they find out that they are, they change. Don't be afraid to stand up for God. Don't be afraid to be different. Young people, don't be afraid to tell your other youth, I can't do that, whatever it is. Or I can't watch that, or I can't talk like that, or I'm not going to listen to that. Don't be afraid. Fathers, grandparents, don't be afraid to say, hey, wait a minute. Fathers, don't be afraid to say, no, that's not coming into this house, whatever it is. That's not going to be watched in this house, or that's not going to be whatever. Or, now let's go into our mind. I'm not going to allow those things to be in my mind. And whatever that is. But, you know, as we get more and more, you know, if we're not careful, we become lukewarm and we just kind of start feeding on these things. And, I mean, yeah, we're still going to church. And, I mean, we're still taking communion. We're still teaching Sunday school. But I don't really read much. I'm not really feeding on the things of God. I mean, once in a while on the way to work or something, I listen to a little devotional or something. That's good, but it shouldn't be your main devotion. God expects us to set aside time to be with him. And as we feed on the things of God, you know, the songwriter said, the things of this earth will become what? Strangely dim. Okay? So, I still am I'm more frustrated than ever. And sometimes I just feel like throwing my hands up and saying, who's right? And who's wrong? And what is truth? As I'm feeding from both tables. But then I get another thing. I get another. And why am I the first one to think of this? We think that. But you know what? If yep, the tables are too far apart. If we would just bring them a little bit closer, and, you know, I kind of move this chair over here a little bit, and now I've got it made. Yeah, I guess it is Sunday morning. I should do a little something, maybe go to church or something. Get a little food, get a little dry bread. I did that for this week now. Now I'm ready to indulge. You know, another thing that's happened to me is while I've started to let down the principles of God's Word and indulge in the things of this world, I tell you what, it is so easy for me now to testify of the Lord. Because, you see, I feel guilty for what I'm doing. So now, oh man, nothing, I think we need more of that, of real, true worship, of praising the Lord. But we see that all the time, don't we? People let go of principles, and then it seems like all of a sudden they're just so proud of Jesus and so whatever. We should be like that when we're feeding on these things. So we continue to eat and we continue to feed, and this works for a while, but I mean now maybe a couple times a week I'm, you know, taking a little bite, but I've just become indulged in these things, and I mean, this is really what I think about. I mean, and this is really who I am. But I'm not at peace. And, you know, sometimes I think, what if Jesus would return? Where am I at? What is truth? It's just so confusing. I mean, this pastor says that, this pastor says that. This commentator says that. This commentator says that. Remember one thing. A commentator is a commentator. You get it? Commentator is a commentator. Because he says it does not mean that it's right, if it goes against God's word. And so he's a commentator like us. He's just a common potato. Commentator. But, you know, and so I think, man, I love this stuff so much that, whew. And you know, the other day I went to church with these people and they were telling me things like, I need to repent and change my ways. I really feel bad for these people. They're in bondage. We hear things like that, don't we? When we stand for the principles of God's word, people who have walked away or who have never known, they say, man, you're in bondage. But they don't understand that they're in bondage to do whatever the world is telling them to do. Remember, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. So which master do you want you telling you what to do? Parents? Grandparents? If someone moved in next door and the neighborhood told you that man has come to kill, steal, and destroy, you would be very alert, would we not? But that's the enemy that's after our soul, after our children's soul, after my soul. An enemy that has no mercy. Most people at some point have a little mercy. The devil has no mercy. He will take you in your weakest point and he will try to slay you. No mercy. None. Whenever the devil tries to tell us something, we can know it is to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not for our good. And we know that when God tells us something, we know that that's for our good. You know, we just become frustrated and we say, I feel like pulling out my hair because, well, you know what's wrong? We don't need two tables. That's what my problem is. We have been, you know, man, we don't need two tables. Let's just take this one back over here. And And now, oh, this is wonderful. I can just sit down at one table and I can just, yeah, I can kind of mix them up and I can, not bad. But, you know, we do this for a little while, and I don't know why these people are constantly hounding me. They're telling me to read God's Word and to pray. I mean, what do they think I am, some kind of a worldly person or what? I can't help it that they can't do the unrighteous stuff that I do. I can't help it that they can't handle it. That's not my fault. You know why these people can't handle things that aren't holy? It's because they have the Spirit of God in their life. That's why. You know why we can too willingly sometimes handle this? Is because the spirit of this world may have us. Or it does. So I think about this for a while. And you know, even now it's like I get this last brilliant idea. Why do we need two plates? Let's just, it's life, man. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Have you ever noticed that every funeral and every viewing almost that you go to, everybody goes to heaven? That's not true. I'm not the judge. I don't think it's true that every person that's laid up in front of an Anabaptist church goes to heaven. Ouch. Heard a black pastor say one time, he said, I think more lies are told in church at a funeral than at any other time. You got to know Donnie, but I know Donnie, and he's a firecracker. But he said, man, I was at that funeral, and they said, he said, if I wouldn't have known who's that casket, if I wouldn't have known who was in there, I'd have had no idea they were talking about that person, because they were just building them all up, you know. And he said, man, if I wouldn't have known she was in the casket, I'd have never had any idea they were talking about her, you know. Well, it was probably true. You know, what we feed on spiritually is what we become. And most of us will die the way we lived. And I want to make this really clear to you tonight. I mentioned it the other night, but I want to mention it again in a little stronger way. We sometimes, as God's people, are getting too used to trying to moderate sin instead of mortify it. Some people responded to an invitation one time, and the one guy confessed that he'd been having some lust thoughts, and the other brother, he patted him, he said, man, he said, we all struggle with that, and he said, but it's still sin. You see? Oh, well, that's all right. We, you know. No. It's still wrong. And, you know, and as I think about this, and as I think about it in my own life, I'm like, you know, what am I doing? What am I feeding on? Are we trying to mix God into our life? Or are we letting God change us to be into His kingdom? And as I think about that, I think, wow. You know, a story is told of a man who died, and his children decided that they were going to put things around his casket that he loved. Dad liked cigarettes, so they took a pack of cigarettes and rolled it up in his sleeve, took a can of his favorite beer and put it here in his hand on his chest, and probably put some of his favorite rock groups and whatever. And Dad liked NASCAR, so they turned the NASCAR race on over there on the wall. And, you know, when we would walk into a setting like that, we would kind of be like, whoa. But all the children was doing was trying to honor Dad in what he loved. Now, I have to ask myself, and I ask you, fathers, mothers, young people, if you died and people put around your casket what you loved, what would it be? Would it be pictures of others? Would it be an old worn Bible? Would it be things of God? Maybe it'd be a handful of money. maybe be a big picture of myself. We can fool a lot of people, but we'll never fool God. You know, as I think about the blending and the mixing and the whatever, this is what repentance looks like, okay? We come to God, and maybe our life looks like this, okay? There's some good things in there, but it's filthy rags without God. So we repent, and we allow God to remove the things of this world out of our lives. Not only do we ask Him to remove them out of our... I mean, not only do we try to work on them, but we ask Him to move them out of our lives. And then we come back here and we once again feed on the good things of God. And we enjoy. This is not an excuse. It's a possibility, and we all do sometimes, that once in a while we slip and we take a bite, right? And when we do that, we say, oh God, I'm sorry, I repent. I don't want to be that way. Do you see the difference? I don't want to go down that way. I am so sorry. And I am getting that out of my life, that whatever that is in my heart, I'm getting that out of there. Because I want to feed on the things of God and be an overcomer. I guarantee you tonight, if you as an individual, if you feed on the good things of God, you will be an overcomer. And if you don't, I can guarantee you, you will not be an overcomer. If this church feeds on the if this congregation feeds on the good things of God and the principles of God's word, your children and your grandchildren will be able to prosper here. But if you feed on the things of this world, you have no idea where you will end up. None. In Romans 1, it says that the first step down was they was unthankful. They did not give God His rightful place. How did we get to where we're at? I mean, when you watch people like Charlie Kirk debate these young people, it's like, where do they even get this thinking? Well, from the college, from their professors, from whatever. How did they get there? Because somebody in front of them did not give God His rightful place. And though they're still making a choice, but I believe that in my heart that probably a lot of those young people don't realize really. They don't really know what they believe. Do I know what I believe tonight? Am I feeding on the things of God? Whatever that is. Blessed are the pure in heart. For what? They shall see God. Blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, tonight that lust is never satisfied? But our soul can be filled with the good things of God. Another woman's never enough. It's another woman after that. And another dollar isn't enough. And another thrill isn't enough. It's always more, more, more. But as we feed on the good things of God, oh, we can just be so satisfied. So I challenge you tonight. I don't know what goes through your mind when you see this, but I don't want to be a soldier that's intertangled with what that represents. I want to be a soldier that is entangled with what this represents, the things of God. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I am so needy. Lord, this message is for me. Forgive me for when I have longed after the things of this world and
skipped feeding on you, and thank you for your grace that brings us back, and your Holy Spirit that convicts us, challenges us, changes us. Thank you for these dear brothers and sisters here tonight that want to be faithful to you. Lord, I pray that they would feed on the things of God. I tried to, in a feeble way, Lord, illustrate a mind picture tonight of what can happen in our spiritual lives when we try to bring the two together. Lord, may your Holy Spirit just show things in our life that maybe we're trying to do that in. Thank you, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing that I want you to remember is God's table never moves. You see, God does not move over there. We have to bring that over here. Does that make sense? God's table doesn't move. I'm not for sure how to close tonight. I think I'm going to close like this. If you're here tonight, don't do it because someone else is doing it, but if you want to make a vow, and because you don't stand does not mean that you're not, but I'm actually going to ask you to come forward. We can be that humble, can't we? If we're going to die for God, surely we can make a vow in front of our brothers and sisters, right? Come on. But the vow tonight is that I am choosing and I am desiring, and by the grace of God, I will feed on the things of God. I like the word vow better than a commitment. If you don't stand, it doesn't mean that you're not doing that, but I just want to give an opportunity. I'll come stand with you. I'm standing up here now. I want with all my heart to feed on the things of God. And so let's just sing a verse of "All to Jesus I Surrender." And if you just want to publicly make that vow, I would just ask you to stand up and come up front here. And we'll have a word of prayer, whoever wants to do that. That I want to choose. I want to work on any of those things that's in my life. I want to work on God getting them out, letting God get those out. I want to feed on the good things of God. I'll stand over here. Any of you are welcome to join me. But let's just sing a verse of "All to Jesus I Surrender." We're just going to pause a moment. And let's just pray. If there's anyone else that would like to come forward, you're welcome to.